Today, it seems that fitness advice is getting more and more complicated. More influencers, more opinions, more things you should and shouldn't do. Cutting through the noise and figuring out what actually matters is harder than it should be. So I wanted to explore what a minimalist approach to strength training might look like.
Hold it the whole time.
This isn't about lifting the lightest weights possible or using the least amount of equipment. It's about using the latest science to train with purpose. So you're not wasting time or energy and you're getting the most out of every rep.
Yes, feet planted.
I think that's all I got.
All right.
This is part one of a three-part series where I break down the principles, science, and programming behind minimalist strength training. What I've learned over the past few months creating this series has completely changed the way I train, and I think it's going to help you as well, whether you're a beginner or have been training for years. This video is sponsored by Element. I'll share more about them later. So I started lifting weights over 15 years ago, and it's definitely the habit that's changed my life the most. It helped me put on 20 pounds of muscle, boosted my confidence, improved my mood, and became the domino habit that sparked so many other positive changes. Even now, training remains at the core of my health routine. But recently, I ran into a problem. I became a dad, picked up a few new hobbies, and suddenly the time I could dedicate to training was cut down to a third of what it used to be. My DIY approach just wasn't going to work anymore. I still wanted results, but without a formal education in exercise science or the time to dig through hundreds of research papers, I knew I needed help. That's what led me to Eugene Teo. Eugene is a strength coach and educator known for cutting through the noise in the fitness world. With a focus on biomechanics, longevity, and intentional training, he's built a reputation for helping people train smarter, not just harder. So I flew to Melbourne, Australia to meet him at his gym to learn everything I could about how to train like a minimalist.
Dude, this space is insane.
This is where you come to pick up weights and grunt and moan and sometimes bleed and spit.
Is that going to happen with me?
That's big. Kind of the plan.
Okay, sweet, yeah.
Kind of the plan.
And yeah, mark it.
Oh, can I do it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Here you go. So we're actually, guys, we're going to be starting over here. And then the whole warm-up is going to be in this section over here. I spent 3 days with Eugene at his gym to better understand his approach to fitness and to go through the full minimalist program he built for me.
So to start with, we're going to do some very, very basic plyometrics, some pogos, okay, which is the entry level.
I'll be sharing the complete training sessions in the next couple videos, but this one is all about first principles. What does the latest science actually say about how we should train?
I can't help but think of somebody going to the gym for the first time and doing a pogo. Is this something that's pretty common?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And that's why a lot of injuries are very common.
I've talked to a few people about this idea, and every time I mention it, they laugh. I think for a lot of people, bringing minimalism and weightlifting together seems contradictory.
I look at minimalism as a concept as efficiency, removing redundancy, and removing any wasted effort. In especially the fitness landscape, weightlifting, whatever you want to call it, there is so much noise, so many conflicting ideas, so much confusion about what to do. And my minimalist approach, in my eyes, is about giving people a filter to be able to understand how to view all these different ideas as a whole and make sense of the world in terms of fitness. It's about saying, how do I get the most out of what's available to me? And how do I remove any of those redundancies?
For most of his life, Eugene was focused on chasing the 1% gains. As a competitive bodybuilder, he obsessed over every variable, squeezing every last bit of progress, no matter how small, in the pursuit of a very specific goal: build muscle and lose fat. But now his focus has shifted to the 99%. He's more interested in the foundations: movement quality, longevity, recovery, and building a body that's strong, resilient, and functional. He's been asking some bigger questions. How do you train in a way that supports your life outside the gym? How do you build strength without burning out? How do you create a program that works with your body, not against it?
What was your training like before you started to simplify things?
When I first started bodybuilding, this is nearly 20 years ago, the industry was very much about, I want to say, excess, about doing as much as you possibly can. One of my early mentors, who's a very popular bodybuilder, Tom Platz. One of his things he used to say to me a lot was, if movement was possible, the set wasn't complete. It was all about going to that absolute limit.
This is quality time. This is the time your legs come together. And when you've had enough, fall into the rack. Go ahead.
Excellent. Sir, I thought it was on there. Great job. Great job. Fantastic, man. You went there. Went the distance.
Even the way that we thought about how muscle building worked 10, 20 years ago was very different. If you ask the average person on the street now, how do you build muscle, or what happens when you go to the gym, they're probably going to say, oh, you tear down your muscles and they grow back larger. And that then gives you this idea that you need to just constantly pursue more and more and more work, more volume, more effort, more pain, and that's what will give you more gains.
Drive! Drive! Give me two more like that.
Although we're starting to realize a lot more now that that's not the most efficient approach. And in some cases, or in many cases, it can actually be a negative result because of how much it impacts your recovery and your ability to then make the changes that you want long term.
To understand Eugene's approach, let's zoom out first and look at the broader fitness landscape. Powerlifting, bodybuilding, Olympic lifting, these are all professional sports with very specific goals. Powerlifting is about pure strength. How much weight can you move in a few key lifts? You might have seen the video I recently did where I explored powerlifting for 100 days. It's pretty intense. Olympic lifting is completely different. It measures explosive power through highly technical lifts like the clean and jerk or the snatch. Bodybuilding focuses on muscle size, symmetry, and definition. That's what Eugene spent much of his life doing, and it's probably had the biggest influence on all the gym programs we see today.
Most people don't realize this, but the vast majority of fitness information that we see on social media or in mainstream media and magazines, it's inspired by bodybuilding. You might not realize it, but most of what we're doing is perpetuated from big bodybuilder, like Big Pharma, not in a malicious way, but it's just from what we've known as a culture. And that's very backwards. Most people don't want to be bodybuilders. They want to get, like I said, look better, feel better, move better. But there's no room for mobility training. There's no room for athletic training. There's no room for power development. And that's really, really important when we're looking at this. So when I look at the minimalist approach, one thing, yes, maybe you're short on time, but it's also about how do I condense all the other aspects of fitness that are truly important into the smallest time frame possible so I can make sure I'm covering my bases.
Eugene's philosophy pulls inspiration from a range of disciplines, from bodybuilding to powerlifting and even CrossFit. Rather than focusing on just one outcome, like getting stronger, his method aims to develop five core areas: hypertrophy or muscle growth, strength, power, mobility, and endurance. So I imagine a lot of people might think that we're trying to do too much with this program. We're trying to hit all five of these things to improve our physical health. What would you say to people that say that?
In the pursuit of us trying to marry up these five slightly dichotomous pursuits of fitness, we're trying to do max strength and power with cardio. It's like they're kind of opposite things. If you do too much of everything at once, yes, it's going to be suboptimal. If we know how to layer it in appropriately, we can make significant gains. Now, I will also agree with the critiques. People will say, if you're doing cardio alongside the max strength work at a high level for both, you're probably going to get suboptimal results in both versus you specializing one or the other. Mm-hmm. That is completely true. But just because something is suboptimal doesn't mean that it's still not effective. Because if I just made you do a pure powerlifting program, that'll give you 100% of powerlifting gains. But if I had you marry a bit of cardio mobility work with powerlifting, you might get 80% of the powerlifting gains, which is still significant. But you've also got the added benefit of cardio mobility, like happy days.
To train across all five areas, hypertrophy, strength, power, mobility, and endurance, and to do it in under 2 hours a week, you have to be intentional about how you structure your workouts. There were three core principles Eugene shared with me that helped to shape his minimalist approach to lifting. And if you want to get the most out of your training, especially if you're pressed for time, these are the principles you need to follow. Before we get there, a quick word from my sponsor. This video is sponsored by Element, which has become my go-to electrolyte hydration drink when it comes to my workouts. Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix with a science-backed approach that combines sodium, potassium, and magnesium. It was co-founded by Rob Wolf, a former biochemist, and it's trusted by Navy SEALs, Olympic athletes, and everyday lifters like me. Element has a no-questions-asked refund policy, so you can try it risk-free for yourself. And they have a special offer happening right now, where if you click the link in the description below this video, they will throw in a free sample pack so you can try all 8 of their flavors. They're all great. Watermelon's my favorite, though. The one thing you'll notice when you try this drink for the first time is that it's very salty, and that's the idea. Research over the past decade has challenged the long-standing belief that lower sodium intake is always better. In fact, for active people, increasing salt intake can improve your hydration, energy levels, and cognitive function. That's why products like Element, which provide a science-backed dose of sodium without sugar or fillers, is so helpful for performance and recovery. I've honestly noticed a huge difference since I've started taking them. Thanks so much to Element for sponsoring this video. And yeah, make sure that you click the link in the description to get your free sample pack with any purchase today. What is some of the science that you've learned around having a minimalist weight training program?
Going to be looking at a few core principles there. The most obvious one in my eyes is exercise selection. We're going to remove any redundancy. From, say, a muscle building perspective, you can compare something like a squat or a split squat or a lunge or a leg press. You've got 4 different exercises there, which anybody could tell you, hey, if you're training legs, you need those 4 movements. They're foundational, they're big compound exercises. However, if you look at it just a slight layer deeper, they're all training the same action and the same muscles with the same kind of range of motion. So yes, technically you could put them all into one workout, but that's also doing 4 movements when you could have just done 1. And you're adding in unnecessary redundancies for most people. The extreme bodybuilder or the extreme athlete in some context might need those 4 movements in the one workout, but 99% of us don't. We can just do the 1.
So before we get into the actual workout, I think it's really important to help you understand how it came to be and what it's all about. So we're going to go through a little bit of a discussion on how it came to be.
Amazing.
Let me grab your chair.
Is that the biggest chair you have?
This is your chair.
This is it? Okay.
This is it.
There's the bench right here.
The simplest way to look at any exercises that you're looking at is it all breaks down to a few core movement patterns. We have a squat. We have a hinge, which is bending forwards at the body. We also have a lunge, single leg squat. Horizontal push, horizontal pull, vertical push, vertical pull. Just about every single movement you can think of in the gym will come into one of those categories. A couple of other tweaks like shoulder raise or bend the elbow, but keeping it simple, they're our main foundations. When I build a program, I'm making sure I'm ticking at least one exercise per movement pattern to make sure there's no gaps.
As we moved through each exercise in the 2-day program, I started to notice the creative ways Eugene was thinking about things like strength, endurance, and mobility.
Now, this is one exercise that I'm super proud of because I named it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just Instagram things, you know?
Yeah.
The katana extension.
Okay.
So it's an exercise where you imagine you are Deadpool and you are unsheathing a katana.
Oh, that's cool.
From behind your body. That's the only reason why we do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for any gains
that's
whatsoever.
It. No.
Traditionally, I would do this exercise like this. Yeah. Again, you can imagine sword. Swing. Okay. But recently, I discovered that if you went in the other hand, we can lean here and use this as another opportunity to really open to your shoulder mobility.
Yeah.
So imagine you're trying to scratch your back or reach your fingertips behind your back right now.
Okay.
I'm in that exact same position while I'm doing triceps.
It's just giving you an extra stretch.
Yeah. Okay. Extra stretch and you get stability here. We're looking at like trying to build muscle.
Yeah.
The more we can find ways to stabilize your body and the moving joints, the better because you can push harder.
Okay, cool. I can add the sound effects in later. I need help. Okay, so like this.
You're good. Perfect.
Like that?
Exactly right.
Okay.
This wasn't dedicated mobility training. In fact, I've done a full video on that already, but the movements were clearly much different from the traditional lifting mechanics I'd been doing.
If you think about like a typical overhead extension, you won't get that range of motion.
And in some cases, it exposed blind spots I didn't even know I had.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. I just got a little cramped up in my fucking, my leg. I need a second. It's just like right there, everything just seized up. Okay.
Perfect. How do you stretch that?
My leg is just seizing up. Woo!
So we're finding something that we need to work on with you.
Oh my God, yeah.
Let yourself flop in a bit.
Yep.
That's cool as well.
Okay.
Let yourself flop, let your background out a little bit. That's totally cool. Awesome. Slow down that negative a bit more. Just get that time there, make it work harder.
I was always told, you know, you go to the gym and you hit multiple exercises for the same muscle group.
Mm-hmm.
Is this not the ideal way to approach muscle growth?
I wouldn't say it's not ideal, but it's trending more towards a maximalist approach of getting as much as you can, trying to eke out that extra 1%. And it's not wrong. You know, I still do that from time to time. I still recommend that to many people. If you've got the time, you've got the desire, and you have the goal, of course, muscles like your chest, your back, even your biceps, they are a lot more complex. You know, hitting it from a different angle will stimulate the muscle slightly differently. Using a cable instead of a dumbbell will give you a slightly different response in the muscle in terms of where it's being targeted. But how much of a difference does it really make? Switching from a dumbbell fly to a cable fly for your chest, we're talking a 1% change. We're talking a 10% change at best. Are you going to notice that in your physique with your goals and your intensity over a year? No, you're not going to look at someone and say, oh, you did too many dumbbell flies, you've done more cable flies.
Mm.
It's not going to happen.
The second core principle is effort. And that really all begins with looking at progressive overload.
What's the importance of progressive overload? It seems regardless of whether you're doing a minimalist training program or a maximalist program, progressive overload seems to be an important thing to shoot for.
Progressive overload is the foundational principle of all training. And this is what separates a workout plan from something that's just you exercising for the sake of exercising and you having something that's going to force change in your body long term. It all comes down to, is there a layer of progression built in? Are you picking exercises? Are you picking rep ranges, whole total program setups in a way that will allow you to progress the stimulus you place on your body with more weight, more reps, a harder effort over time? Can you track that? And are you able to overload that over time? So in simple terms, it is saying, next time you go into the gym, you should be able to do more. Next time not being tomorrow, but it could be next month. If your training's effective, you should be able to do more than you did over time. If not, it's probably ineffective.
Good to go.
Let's do it.
Final one.
All right.
To trigger a meaningful stress response, you need to push yourself. Just because this is a minimalist program doesn't mean it's low effort. In fact, the opposite might be true. Because we're doing less and we're doing it in less time, every set matters even more.
Nice. Good one. That was a tough set.
Oh, I think we...
For us as minimalists, we want to ask, how do I get the most out of the least? And what is the least amount of work that I can do and still make gains? And the science is pretty clear on this. It shows that even just one set is enough. So not the three sets you've been doing, but one set's enough as long as it's effortful to make gains long term. So we're going to start there.
I have to say, I've never done just one set of an exercise before. I actually didn't even know that that was allowed.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I'll tell you what, like, you look at any generic program out there in Men's Health or any other magazines, 99% of the time, it's going to be multiple sets. 3 sets of 10, 4 sets of 8, 5 sets of 5. Whether you're a powerlifter, a bodybuilder, whatever, they're gonna have these just token rep schemes. Now, some of the absolute best bodybuilders in the world, from a pure muscle building perspective, like Dorian Yates, 6-time Mr. Olympia winner, he would just do one set for an exercise. And he would do, for a body part, like say chest, he would do 2, maybe 3 exercises for his chest. And that was his workout. And he wasn't an anomaly. There were many people who were doing very similar approaches with very, very low volume. But as that comes down, sets, the intensity must come up.
Mm.
You got to make sure you're squeezing every single last bit of effort out of your body in that one set to make sure that it's effortful. I'd like you to do just a very subtle pause at the bottom of each rep.
Okay.
In that transition point. Perfect. Control, stretch, up. Yes, good, good. And again, control it, slight pause. Perfect. Big chest, control. Nice one. Slight pause down there, Matt. Yes, good one. Give me 2 more. Up. Yes, feet planted, feet planted.
I think that's all I got.
All right, in. Nice one.
I learned my lesson after I tore my pec.
True.
Last time,
very,
I was like,
smart.
Once I get to that point, I'm like, okay. But that was true failure, obviously, for me, because I wasn't able to even do that last one.
I've always been told that going to absolute failure is the only way to make gains in the gym. What have you learned in your research?
Yeah, so going to failure is absolutely important because you need to understand where that limit lies. In terms of trying to stimulate change in your body, your brain has to sense a very, very hard effort. That starts this cascading process of a whole bunch of different signals being sent to your muscles, to your connective tissue, saying, get stronger, adapt, whenever it is. If it's not hard enough, you won't grow. For example, if you brush your teeth, you're working a lot of these muscles in your arms and forearms. They're under the scientific term of tension, but you're not growing muscle from brushing your teeth because the effort's not there. If we replace that with a very, very hard exercise with load, eventually your body says, oh, I better wake up all the muscles I need to. And then when they get taxed out, your brain says, hey, grow those things, make them stronger. So that's where this whole failure thing and effort is so, so, so essential. However, more modern research has also shown that if you train within about 3 reps shy of that absolute breaking point, you can get very similar responses for muscle building. The benefit is of doing that is you don't get the extra fatigue, because those last few reps, yes, they might give you a little bit more gains, but the magnitude of fatigue and recovery debt that they create is significantly more. So if we can remove that, that's incredibly helpful. But there is one more caveat, and that is that most people, including myself, are horrible at gauging where failure really is, where there has been some research done with hundreds of participants. So, and these are trained individuals where they say, look, tell me what you'd normally do for 10 reps on a squat exercise. And you might say, oh, I might do 100 kilos. And then we put you to the test under controlled conditions and you get 20, where you've spent in the last 5 years of your life thinking, this is really hard. This is true failure. This is 10 reps. I can't do any more. But you're actually got 10 reps left in reserve.
Obviously, in what we talked about before, complete failure isn't necessarily the goal for the day-to-day of this program. You're saying sometimes we can go to that point?
Just for insurance, even the bro in me, I think we need to have some sets that are hard, but not every single set.
Yeah.
And there's always room for next week to push it. I like leaving a little bit left on the table each time. And absolute worst, we can squeeze another set in if we had to.
Right. Because if we feel like we didn't go hard enough, we can do another one to make up for the gains we lost on the set.
Exactly. But honestly, I just tell people, keep track of your progress. Like, record what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if it's going up over time, over the next few months, happy days.
Yeah.
And you'll see that from just doing the one set.
When I first started working on this project, Eugene asked me if you guys might be interested in digging deeper into this topic. I said, I don't know, but it's definitely something I want for myself. So over the past couple months, we worked together to create a training guide and complete 12-week program based on the core principles in this video. And we're launching it today. It's called Minimalift, a minimalist guide to strength training. And honestly, this might be the greatest name for a product ever created. I have to give a special shout out to a subscriber who mentioned it in a previous video. And for the first 2 weeks of our launch, we've got a very special bundle offer. You'll get access to the full ebook training guide, plus 4 programs, including a 2-day, 3-day, 4-day, and 5-day split, all for the price of one. That's 70% off the full price for 1 week only. Each of these are 3-phase programs designed to help you get results with the minimum effective dose, with workouts being capped at 30 to 40 minutes. I think one of the most helpful things about this program is that there are demo videos for every single exercise, which is very helpful because, as you've seen, Eugene has gotten very creative with how to perform many of these lifts and exercises. This is just a great way to check on your form and make sure that you're doing the exact protocol as Eugene designed it. If you're worried that you don't have the right equipment or you're not a big fan of lifting at the gym, that's not a problem. All exercises were chosen to work either in the gym or at home, and there are alternative exercises provided for each lift. If you're somebody who wants to do more than the minimum, or you have a very specific goal that you're shooting for, the ebook covers all of that, including how to adapt the program to reach your specific goals. As a bonus, we're also sharing extended interviews, excerpts, and my 8-week follow-up after using the program, where we talk about some of the specific challenges and changes that have helped me to adapt this program for at home.
Like, you've heard the phrase, eat the frog. Like, do the hard stuff first. Yeah.
and then everyone else is easier. I don't like that approach a lot of the time because it's a fucking frog, man. You don't want to eat that shit.
When you purchase within the first week of launch, you get 4 programs for the price of 1. After this, you can still get all the programs, but you'll have to purchase them separately at full price. So if you want to get started today, simply go to mattdiavella.com/lift. That's mattdiavella.com/lift. So excited to help you guys on your fitness journey. The third principle that guided Eugene's minimalist programming was time management.
When I look at trying to condense time, we've got to understand what is the goal of our workouts. It's not just to get tired. It's not just to smash you up in the gym. We want to make sure that we're still doing something that's very effective in your with your training, but we don't have the luxury of multiple hours or multiple sessions. I try to identify where does most of our time get spent when we're training? Where do we spend it? Where do we lose it? Because then if we can condense that in some way or collapse that, we can get more out of less time spent. The biggest areas, which we'll come back to again and again throughout this program, are going to be rest periods. Before we hit our RDLs, we're going to do one active rest thing. Okay. So we're going to be in a push-up position on the floor. I won't show you on the floor.
Okay.
But all you're going to do is open out and push your body away with straight arms.
Okay.
Scapular push-up. You're going to come back down, let your body sink, and then push back out again.
Okay.
Okay. So this is something that's getting us into what's called protraction, which trains your serratus muscles, some of your back muscles as well, to really open your body out. And actually, as much as it looks like bad posture, it's actually a really, really cool thing to do for your posture.
Okay.
So we can do 10 reps on the floor like that.
70% of time that you spend in the gym is going to be spent resting. Rest is very important. Otherwise, we're just doing cardio with weights in our hand, which is not the goal of this at all. I look at programming things in a way where everything has a purpose. You're probably very much like me, where you know mobility work and stretching is important, but you probably won't do it a lot of the time if I gave it to you as a set plan. But if we can bake it into a rest period, where in between, say, sets of chest presses, you're doing a hamstring stretch, let's do that.
Pure mobility, we're just sneaking it in instead of you sitting there texting on your phone and thinking about your next YouTube video.
Within that, though, of course, we're thinking about how do we pair movements together that are complementary and not conflicting, and that build upon each other, and that don't interfere in any way. Because again, we're not just trying to make you tired for the sake of being tired. This minimalist stuff is all about intentional, efficient exercise.
You mentioned how you are trying to incorporate some kind of conditioning into weight training, which I never had heard of before. Never thought that you could kind of combine the two of them together.
Yeah, you usually shouldn't. And this is something where you always turn the line of, if you're trying to do two dichotomous things of weight training and endurance training, if you try to do them both at the same time, you're probably going to do them both suboptimally and just get a lot out of nothing. We want to avoid that. So the way we need to do that is by being strategic about how we give you rest periods. If we gave you too short a rest period, or we did two competing movements that really tax your cardiovascular system too much, then yeah, it'd be limiting.
Yeah.
Where hopefully we choose movements that don't have that mismatch, where we're not doing competing movements too much.
The next layer was, how do I create a sense of urgency and progression within the workouts themselves? Because it's very easy to go into the gym for 30 minutes and feel like you've worked hard, but then I want to make sure that over the next few weeks and months, we're actually stimulating something other than just working hard for the sake of working hard. How do I guarantee success where I'm not there holding your hand every workout, but I know that you're going to get at least 80% of the intended results just by showing up? And that's where I'm looking at things like integrating timed sets, where instead of telling you we need to do 6 sets here, I might say we're going to set the timer for 10 to 15 minutes, whatever it is, and you've got to accumulate this much work in that time. And that's now your minimum standard that you must beat over the next few weeks.
Instead of your typical 3 sets of 8 reps where there's an undefined period of time of how long you're going to spend in the gym, we're going to time cap you. So we're going to use a 12-minute timer for this part of the workout anyway. 12 minutes. One thing's going to know how long we're going to take, but also to give you urgency and give you a finite finishing point of where to work up to.
So timer's on.
Yep.
Let's get to it with the first set of 5.
Okay.
Supersets are baked into the entire program, pairing non-competing muscle groups back to back to condense the total workout time. Like here, where I'm combining deadlifts with pull-ups.
Right to the
Right to the pull-ups. Full stretch. Engage those back muscles and get straight up to the bar. Explosive. Yes, nice one.
So this is something that I stole from CrossFit. They use a lot of EMOMs or E2MOMs. Every minute on the minutes or every 2 minutes on the minutes. We're gonna do the latter. So you're gonna start your timer at 12 minutes and every 2 minutes interval, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 12, you're going to be doing a set of five on squats and a set of five on the overhead press. Your rest period will be the remainder of that minute. It keeps you honest to a certain pace with your exercises and a certain rest period where it's sufficient rest, but not so much you end up spending unnecessary amounts of time in the gym.
Yes, perfect, perfect. Awesome, take your time, big breath, lock in, push. Excellent.
CrossFit gets hated on a lot for these kinds of timed sets because they don't necessarily have a progression in mind. They're just saying, just do it to work harder, do it just as a general, it's part of your conditioning for the day. You're showing up and just working hard.
Less is more.
Less is more.
All right,
this is poor. This is easy.
Because their training is so varied, it's hard to bake in progression. We will stick with the same movements, same schemes over time, so we have something to shoot for each week to improve. So even if you come in week one and you completely sandbag it and go easy, and you're like, oh, that was fine, you know, next week you've got something you must beat. And within 2 or 3 weeks, you've taken away any issues of you not pushing hard.
You're setting a timer not to stay busy, but to keep yourself accountable and to make sure that you are progressing and using the most of the time that you have.
Exactly.
For much of my life, I treated lifting as an all or nothing pursuit. If I couldn't commit 5 hours a week, it didn't feel worth doing at all. But one of the biggest takeaways from my time with Eugene was this: even a small dose can lead to real progress if you're intentional with how you train.
We think about resistance training, even if you don't care about the physique or the performance side, we think about, look, it's good for you for health. You know, I want to live a longer life. And actually, a question for you, How many hours do you think you need to be spending with resistance exercise, going to the gym, to be able to get the maximum health lifespan benefits?
Probably what I was doing before I became a parent, which was like 5 days a week, 1 hour a day at the gym.
Totally. So like 5 hours of resistance training per week. Surprisingly, all the health benefits, like lower mortality risk, they tap out after 60 minutes.
Per week.
Per week. So if you're going 5 days a week, that could be 20 minutes or so. Even, what's that? Even less. 10 minutes in a workout.
We're nearly done.
Okay, nearly done.
Yeah. Obligatory flex.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's see how you're looking. We've got good lighting now as well. This is it.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Getting close to 40.
If you have the time, energy, and desire to go all in at the gym, go for the maximalist approach. But if you're like me, juggling a tight schedule, more responsibilities, and other interests, a minimalist approach like this can be a really powerful way to keep training sustainably and effectively. And if you're ready to dig deeper, I'm releasing nearly 2 hours of training footage right here on this channel, so you can see Eugene's exact program in action and take what you need to apply to your own training.